calls. We'll get back to those shortly at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@larslarson.com. If you listen to this show regularly, you'll hear me complain about various things. I gripe about all kinds of things, but I usually try to suggest some kind of solution. So when I saw the opportunity to talk to David Bahnsen, who's the founder and the CIO of the Bahnsen Group and the author of the new book, Crisis of Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame and How You Can Cure It, I thought we should talk to him on the program. Mr. Bahnsen, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Thanks for having me again, Lars. Good to be with you.
So why is it that we're addicted to trying to blame somebody? And I would say that some of what I do every day is trying to find out who made this happen or let this happen, and how can we keep it from happening again? Can you fix problems if you don't fix the responsibility?
Well, I think that the distinction between a lot of what I'm writing about in the book and what your show is very naturally and effectively doing is that in the realm of public policy, that's kind of what it's intended to do, is find something that isn't working, which has a certain degree of blame casting, but then searching for a correction. And that's largely what your show is doing. I think that in the case of my book, there's a suggestion that the culture at large is spending too much time not looking in the mirror, not looking at their own agency, their own responsibility. And so across all sorts of fields, what has happened is you see those things now becoming blamed for, let's say, shortcomings or problems or headwinds in people's lives. And really, those things don't represent the actual responsible agent as much as the individual needs to look in the mirror and figure out what they can be doing better.
But that takes a lot of guts to look in the mirror and say, I may be to blame for what has happened.
It does take guts. It also, though, I think takes that expression I used earlier of agency. It takes the willingness to say I'm going to be a responsible actor. And so there's a sort of industry that is involved. And that, to me, is where I think we've broken down the most. I think that out of this moral shortcoming, we've seen a real kind of paradigm of laziness, the ability to put the work into diagnosing what we can do better in our job situation, in our preparation for engagement in this economy, and in our own families, communities. It takes work. So I think that there's a crisis of character because we're not putting in the necessary work necessary to be that responsible actor. And why should we do it if we found that we can blame the government or blame the media or blame big business, blame Wall Street, et cetera? We found all kinds of scapegoats that are able to divert our attention.
Well, and in fact, you wrote a whole chapter that dealt with the global finance industry and about Wall Street and how there are so many people in this country who, at the same time they may have a 401k or an IRA that's invested in Wall Street, they seem to have all kinds of criticism for Wall Street. And you've described it. How did you describe it? It was something along the lines of it's not a cause of our financial problems, but merely a creature of it. How do you draw that distinction?
That's exactly right. I think that Wall Street and Main Street are aligned a lot more than people realize in this sense, the various character issues that drive a lot of the decision making. It's very easy. The financial crisis was, to me, the ultimate sort of manifestation of this. You had people who wanted to buy homes they couldn't afford, to keep up with the Joneses, extracting equity out of it, to go on a spending spree. And when the housing market turned, walking away from their house payments. And then their solution was to say, well, Wall Street's greed caused it. And I think that there was a lot of greed on Wall Street and there was a lot of irresponsibility. But I'm not sure how we could define the actions of that particular hypothetical individual I just described as anything other than greed and covetousness. And so I believe that the financial crisis represented a turning point in our society at which I was able to go back and kind of diagnose that along partisan lines, people were sort of picking who they wanted to blame. And there was not just an ignoring of Main Street's culpability, but turning Main Street into a victim And I think that it was a watershed moment in our culture.
Well, that, I mean, listen, I'm glad to finally find somebody that I'm on the same page with, because for years about the 08 crisis, I kept telling people, you want to know who's greedy? Like you said, the person who walks in with the liar loan, the one where you were effectively allowed to lie about what your income and your financial circumstances were, and you said, I want to buy this house for $300,000 and sell it in a year and a half for $500,000 and take the $200,000 magic money and put it in my pocket and go live a wonderful life. And then when the music stopped and you were in musical chairs and you didn't have a chair to sit down, and you say, well, it's not my fault. It's not that I was aspiring to make ridiculous amounts of money, 30, 40, 50% profits in the span of a couple of years. It's not my fault. It's the guys on Wall Street who took my liar loan and then packaged it up with a bunch of other loans and sold it to other people, not knowing or not telling those other people that, there was a certain amount of fiction to all of it.
Well, you basically are describing it exactly the way that I do, although since I live in Southern California, we have to use very different hypothetical dollar amounts to decide the houses. but yes, I mean, the reality is that we talked about this predatory lending that was going on, and we had no conversation about predatory borrowing, which I can assure you in the empirical data was 20 times more frequent than whatever predatory lending is. And I agree that Wall Street levered up their bets recklessly, but I want to be clear about what those bets were. Those bets were bets that the American homeowner was going to pay his house payment. Wall Street was betting on Main Street. So, yes, Wall Street got it wrong, and there was significant systemic risk in the financial system because of it. But what Wall Street got wrong was their confidence in Main Street. And I think that the financial crisis was a classic case where in the search post-crisis analysis, people were so desperate to find someone to blame that could align with their natural political partisanship. Even the right did it, Lars. Even a conservative like me, I saw so many of my friends who were quick to rightly point out deficiencies at Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, government housing policy, other people on the Federal Reserve and a reckless monetary policy. And I think that there's truth in all of that. But the point was that we were vindicating Main Street and joining in kind of a false narrative that I believe furthers, exacerbates this crisis responsibility.
Is there any way that we can build structures into society? Because this seems like a problem bigger than just we're going to fix it by telling everybody, why don't you just look in the mirror and be responsible? What do we do to fix this by forcing people to, if you want to take on authority, you have to take on some responsibility too?
Well, and it's one of my favorite parts of the book is that for all my criticism of big government and statism and elitism, I also believe that the heritage of our country is by no means this sort of radical individualist either, with a hollowed out middle of our society. We need to rebuild the structures, and those structures for 200 flourishing years in our country largely centered around churches, communities, civic organizations. There was a sort of mediating institution in society between government and the individual, and those institutions served as the proper structure to engage civic life.
David, that's a very good example, because you might get away with lying to some people, but lying to your pastor is a whole different matter. Thanks so much, and congratulations on Crisis of Responsibility. We'll look forward to talking to you again, sir.
Thanks so much, Lars. Always good to be with you.
Take care. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a-